You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Everyone, and welcome to The Light Show. My name is Kate DeVries. I work for the Archdiocese of Chicago in the Young Adult Ministry Office. We are the Catholic Church's outreach to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single, and it is a joy to be with you this morning. And also with me here is our director, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
And good morning, Dr. Kate.
How are you today?
Cold.
It is cold.
It's cold. That's
cold
okay.
And windy. Why do we live in Chicago?
Because I was born here.
Oh, me too.
I always said if my mother birthed me in the South Seas,
yeah.
I'd be very happy. My father
and you'd stay put.
both of my parents have passed away, but I never forget my dad. God love him. After I was ordained a priest, I took my mom and dad on a little vacation, and we were in the Bahamas. And my dad hadn't gone away in years and years, and he was a very simple man. All he did was work. And we're standing on a pier, and he's looking out at this blue coral water, and he said, "You know, John, the only thing you need to live here is a pair of shorts." And I thought,
there you go.
You need a little bit more than that today, but that was my beloved father. God rest him.
We do talk about the Catholic imagination, Father.
There we go.
Now,
folks, as Kate mentioned, we're the Catholic office, the Catholic outreach, if you want to call it that, to those who are in their 20s and 30s. Both married and single.
Yes.
And calling young adults. And there's only one issue in that world on one page, and everything else is on the other page.
Yes.
And that word is?
It's relationships.
Exactly.
Everyone wants to be connected. We want to be loved. We want to have someone to love.
But we need to make it clear. Well, we're going to focus on that today, folks. That's going to be the gist of our time together with you this month. But relationships are not just how can I find someone to spend the rest of my life with. Relationship is also nurturing a relationship, a friendship, a significant other, and a marriage. Mm-hmm. So we're not saying, I'm not in the relationship market. If you're married, yes, you are. This is all about that younger world in which we live. And with us today, and I said this to him as we were walking down the corridor here, heading to the radio studio for the diocese, he's sort of a Catholic rock star in the young adult.
He really is. He is
the
so
young
popular,
adult world.
Everyone.
Very popular.
Where is he going to be speaking next?
Yeah. Oh, my God. And I had After Theology on Tap this past August, there was a young lady who was helping us clean up at the Quigley Center. And I said to a couple of people, come on, let's go have something to eat. So we were sitting down, a bunch of us, and Kelly Lynch said, I heard the finest talk in my life.
Oh my God.
I'm thinking, And I said, when was that? Father Brito. And I called all my friends. And I said, he's speaking three more nights this week. Get out there. You got to hear. And they thought I was a little nutty. And I'm not, because he was the best. And so with us today is Father Brito Birchman. And he's sitting there very quietly.
Soaking it all in.
And Brito, we want to say welcome to the Light Show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And we are honored by your presence. Trust me, we really are. And we wanted to do this, folks, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Father Brito is a busy man. He's pastor of St. Paul of the Cross in Park Ridge.
Yes.
And before that, St. Nicholas in Evanston.
Yes.
And somewhere down the road, he was also a chaplain at the University of Illinois.
Yes, that was quite a while ago.
Oh, I know, but quite a while ago, it catches up with us. But before we move into the world of relationships with Father Brito, I'm always curious, How did Brito get from being ordained as a priest in India to coming, winding up in this current position as pastor in a big suburban place called St. Paul of the Cross in Park Ridge, Illinois? So tell us the journey of Father Brito from the place where you were born to the place where you now reside.
Yeah, I was just listening to what you were saying at the beginning of the show. You're thinking about your dad and your family and all that. And I was asking the same question. I said, I was born in a nice warm place where, as one of my English superiors used to say, there are only three seasons, hot, hotter, hottest.
There you go. And you came here where it's cold, colder, and coldest. And coldest.
And I can tell you how I landed, because when I'm here, my heart is warm because of the ministry. And I can tell you in one word, I'm here because of the ministry. Oh, yes, I was born in India, one of seven children to very good Catholic parents. My father was a professor at a Jesuit university in Madras, the fourth largest city in India. My mother was a very devout Catholic woman. And I became a priest, joined the Salesians of Don Bosco, the second largest order in the church. And incidentally, they work with youth.
Don Bosco, I remember, is a high school seminarian.
Exactly.
That was the patron.
Yes. And so all my life I worked with young people, and that has always been my passion. And then my superiors asked me to get my degree in journalism in 1985. I came to Marquette, got my degree in journalism. I got my master's, and then I got my master's in systematic theology, and went back to India and worked as an editor of a Catholic magazine.
Oh, wow.
But then my superiors from Rome asked me to come to Rome to teach in our new school of communications at the Pontifical University in Rome. So I came back to the U.S., and I was at the University of Illinois at the Newman Center at St. John's Catholic Chapel as one of the campus chaplains. That was a fabulous experience working with those young adults. And I seemed to have made some connection, and they made a connection with me. And when I finished my doctorate after 5 years, I was very sad to leave. And so when I went to Rome, I got into this vocational crisis, asking myself, what am I doing sitting in a classroom teaching when I would love to be a priest working with people, especially young people?
Right.
I prayed about it for 5 years, and finally I discerned and I said, I got to try this out.
Good.
And God worked it all out, and I came to Chicago because the only place in the country that I know is the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew there was a shortage of priests. And I was more an American priest than an Indian priest, because I've spent more years of my priesthood ministering here than I had done in India, because I spent only 2 years in India really as a priest, or three and a half years. So I really felt at home here, and it all worked out. And my first assignment was in Barrington. I was an associate.
At St. Anne's?
Yes.
Right.
That's when I got involved with the Theology on Tap.
This was 10 years ago. I know.
And I have been consistently involved with the Theology on Tap for the last 10 years.
And if you're not, in the future, we're going to haunt you. Because you are so loved by the young adult world.
Well, and I enjoy doing this. And somewhere along the way, I got interested in relationships. And I started studying, observing. I help couples. I spend a lot of time preparing couples for marriage.
Exactly.
So with all that, it has become my passion. And in my parish, I really would love to develop this more and more.
Right.
So that's how I landed here, and I'm grateful to Chicago that has accepted me, and I'm here to be serving the Lord as a priest.
And you do it well, not just serving the Lord, but you serve the Lord well. And the feedback, Father Brito, that we can get consistently is how helpful your material on relationships really, really is. And the title, and as you know, folks, if you're listening to us, when we find someone who the word on the street is, get them to speak in Theology on Tap, because they're very good. Now you check it out. And then we will normally ask, do you have a sort of a title or a theme? And Brito has come up with a very fascinating title, Emotionally Intelligent Relationships. And I think to put those three words together is really brilliant. It's not just intelligent relationships, but it's emotionally intelligent relationships. And what we're going to do is we're going to sort of unpack that. And from Father Brito's hands-on expertise, working with couples preparing for marriage, working with young adults in Barrington, Evanston, Park Ridge, and particularly University of Illinois down in Champaign. He's got a wealth of experience, and we're going to mine that a little bit. And we're going to focus, as we mentioned earlier, that these are relationships. It's not just a single person looking for a marriage partner. It's relationships. And I think so often what I see, Brito, in my work with young adults is that somehow they think once they get married, they don't have to work at this. And a relationship is work. And so often the married people, well, you know, I don't need to worry about that anymore. Well, sadly, that's when they probably need it more than any time. It's easy to work on something when the hormones are flying and you're falling in love and you're excited. But once the routine sets in.
Exactly. I mean, in fact, that's one of the first things I tell my couples that I prepare for marriage. And I tell them relationships are hard work.
Exactly.
Finding the right person is about half the work. And then keeping it alive and vibrant, that is the next 50%.
Yeah, and that's the tough part sometimes.
Exactly.
Even today with people, you know, in relationship longer before there's a commitment made, they could be in relationship for 2-3 years. That was unheard of.
Right.
You know, I mean, my God, I think my parents were probably married within 8 months, 6 months. I don't know. They're dead now. But that's what you did. You found somebody, you dated for a while, got engaged, got married. Boom, boom, boom. Today, I'm not sure if this is the right, you know, it goes on and on and on. And that has to be nurtured or else it can be dull.
Right.
Okay.
So,
Go ahead, Kate.
I am curious. You know, Father Kuzik, you mentioned emotionally intelligent relationships. So, Father Brito, could you start by just defining that and helping us to understand what you address when you're on that topic?
Okay. I'm not very original in coming up with that title.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. Because about 10 years ago, there was a great book that came out, Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman.
Okay.
He challenged the traditional way of measuring intelligence only by IQ. And he showed that people who seem to score very high on the intelligence quotient were not necessarily the most successful people.
Okay.
But he said there is another factor to this which we don't measure, what you call people's skills or their emotional intelligence.
Okay.
How do they relate to people? That contributes a lot more to your success in life than merely your cerebral or whatever intelligence.
Okay.
So, and the other point that I noted was people who are very smart in practically every other area, great professionals, successful people, are not necessarily very successful in their relationships.
Okay.
We make a lot of mistakes in the way we choose a person, in the way we work through a relationship. So to indicate that, you know, we need to be emotionally intelligent in our relationships, I chose that kind of title. And it has caught on. I mean,
sure. Yeah. And is that something that you're born with or you can acquire? I know you can go to school
certainly,
to learn skills.
Certainly you can learn a lot.
Okay.
So if I may lead into what actually I tell the young people in this talk, the first part is actually challenging some of the myths that circulate in our culture about relationships. The myths are, you know, false assumptions that people just accept without being critical about them.
Okay.
For example, the first one I say, many people believe the worst thing that can happen to you is to end up alone. Whether people believe it or not, it is there at the back of their mind, and they go through life thinking that. So, for example, here in this culture, if you are alone, there is something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. Right.
I have told people, I have lived in 3 continents. It is the most difficult to be a celibate in America, not because the temptations are greater, but because here if you are single, they look down upon you. There's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
It is not.
And it's not that way around the world.
No, I mean, not necessarily.
Okay.
Especially in a country like India, you have dedicated yourself to the Lord and you're celibate. They appreciate you even more.
Okay.
So what I tell people here is that it is better to be in a good relationship, it is better to be alone than to be in a bad relationship.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
The Italians have a proverb. They say, meglio essere sola di essere mal accompagnata. It is better to be alone than to be badly accompanied.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I tell young people, look, when your relationship is going good, you are very happy. But when your relationship is not going good, everything sucks. Can I use that word?
Absolutely. It's the reality. There's nothing
that
worse.
That is exactly what happens.
And see, Brito, what I find in people, particularly if they're getting serious about a relationship, and they may come to see me and say, I've got real issues here. There's this, and this is men and women. Everybody thinks that this is a women's issue, but it's a man. But there's that thing in the back of their head that says, yeah, there's problems here, but I'm afraid if I dump this, I'll never have anybody.
Yeah.
And so they would, again, rather move into a mess than to learn how to be comfortable being who they are.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah, because if you're not who you are, then you can't forge a very healthy relationship.
Then you can't be a gift to someone else.
Exactly.
We're going to need to take a break, Kate.
Yes, and thank you so much for listening, everybody. We are here on Relevant Radio, right here on 950 AM with Father Brito, Father Cusick, Kate DeVries. We will be right back.
Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life.
Be with us, O Lord, we pray.
In your spirit.
Thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to The Light Show with Father Brito Birchmans, Father John Cusick, and Dr. Kate DeVries. It is a joy being with you. We are the Catholic Church's outreach to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single. If there is anything at all that we can do for you, please let us know. One of the ways that you or any young adults you know can take a look at what our office offers is to jump onto our website. That address is yamchicago.org. It stands for Young Adult Ministry, yamchicago.org. And if you jump on onto our website, you can do one of two things. You can either add a name, an email, so that we can keep you informed of what's happening, or you can jump right to our calendar of events.
There you go.
Because parishes around the Archdiocese and other Catholic organizations, their events come into our office, and we put them right on the website, so that if anybody in their 20s and 30s has some time or some talent to share, they're just looking to connect with their peers, they're new to the city and looking to see what's happening, they're looking for good church, we can help you with that. So again, yamchicago.org.
So if you want to know where our Catholic rock star, Father Brito,
oh, there you go.
Is speaking on
that theology on tab,
on relationships,
any other things, yes.
on our calendar of our calendar of events,
it's
yamchicago.org.
That's it.
And as Kate mentioned, in terms of email, on the bottom, on our opening page, on the bottom left, is if you can add an email address to anybody who's in their 20s and 30s, whether they're married or single. And we're privileged to send out sporadically, because we don't want to bombard people with emails, because we get too much.
Yep.
Just different things that we find of interest. And there's also a third one that we began during Lent last year.
Okay.
And that is a Facebook page. It's Young Adult Ministry of Chicago. And we're doing reflections on that. It's a little bit different than our website. Website is sort of a potpourri of everything that we're involved in. But we began in Lent 2011 by writing a daily reflection. Kate and I did some, other people that we know, young adults added some, and we've picked it up again to do different reflections so that it's much more on a spiritual slash serious bent as opposed to, you know, other kind of activities for young adults, which you can find on our website. So the Facebook page is Young Adult Ministry of Chicago, and you bring that up once you put it in search. And if you'd like to stay connected to that, obviously you just have to like that, hit the like button. And then when we post something there, bingo, it pops up on your Facebook when you open it up after you open your beautiful blue eyes for the next
for the day
of life.
There you go.
I used to grab for cigarettes. Now I grab for Facebook. So
there
it's just,
you go.
It's the
much better habit, Father Cusick.
Okay.
All right. Father Brito, let's get back to our topic today is relationships. And you started off by telling us one of the myths of relationships. And I believe you might have one or two others to share. What are some other myths, that things people believe that aren't necessarily true?
Okay. The next myth I challenge is this. The more people you date, the better you are prepared for marriage.
Ah, okay.
In fact, people tell you, oh, how could you settle down after you just dated one person? You know, I met couples that met when they were in high school, and they dated through college, and then they eventually got married. And I tell them, you are so blessed because you just dated this one person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I think a lot of people think that romance is like comparative shopping. You have to go try different people. Or it's like baseball. The more pitches you face, the better batter you are. Actually, the opposite is true, because I think the more people you date, because today dating is not what it was, say, three decades ago. It involves a lot more emotional involvement and physical intimacy and all those things. The more people you date, I think the more baggage you collect.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
I'm not saying that you don't date people, but dating as it is understood today is almost like being married to somebody.
Yeah, it's.
And
it's,
so every time you break up, it's like a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to always wonder, especially when I was at the University of Illinois with these college kids, said, how can you allow your heart to be broken into so many pieces and then put back together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many times can you do that?
Right.
So that is one myth I think people should think about. And the last one, which I think has become very acceptable in the last decade or so, is before you commit to someone, you have to live with them.
Ah, okay.
Very contemporary and American.
Very American. But you know, this was also happening in Europe also. I'm not saying it didn't happen in the West. But what people don't realize, there are even sociological studies that show that when people live together before marriage, actually it hurts their prospects for making the marriage work. I mean, I remember seeing a study which said that a woman who lives with someone before getting married, actually her probability of divorce goes up threefold. You know, I mean, that's kind of scary.
Right. So that sense of just like a trial marriage, you know, just to kind of that, wake up, see how well you like you know, living
but,
with the person.
You know what?
It's
but the thing is,
way.
It is not really trial marriage. Okay. Think about it. Because when people live together, at the back of their head, they have this idea, if this doesn't work, I
right.
can jump.
Exactly.
In a marriage, that possibility is not there.
Okay.
Right.
When you marry, you commit to this person and say, we are going to adjust, we're going to get through this, we're going to work through things.
Exactly.
Which is not true when you live together.
Right.
When
okay.
you live together, you are trying out the other person, but it's not trial marriage.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And you can pack your bags and go.
Exactly.
And people do that.
Yep.
And the hearts are broken and confusion
right.
reigns supreme.
Right.
Yeah, and it can really be difficult.
And then when people live together, I mean, I hope, I don't want to be euphemistic. I mean, people don't live like Mary and Joseph. I mean, you know, it is everything that happens in a marriage happens mm-hmm. when you live together.
Right.
And you know, what people don't realize, whenever physical intimacy enters into a romantic relationship, very often, the first thing to go out is communication.
Mm.
Men would rather prefer to engage in, you know, physical whatever rather than really sit down and talk. And,
yeah.
And it affects that. And I think you see how whenever physical intimacy enters into the picture, a lot of time people get confounded, confused. And even relationships that should have ended long time ago, they don't end because this is holding them back.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
also if you see when people break up, when there is physical intimacy, the breakup is far more painful.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt about it.
So.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
All so sorts of good reasons not to become physically intimate right away.
Well, I mean, there's so much much emotion thrown in.
Exactly.
You know, and that's where maybe we're back to this wonderful title, emotionally intelligent.
Yes.
That you got to think.
Right.
Because in relationships, emotions are running wild.
That's why, as I said, even intelligent people make tremendous
sure.
mistakes in this.
So how do you get more emotionally intelligent? What is the, I mean, do you go to school for it? I mean, trial and error? What's the best
teacher
for that?
As I said, you know, there is a lot of wisdom out there that you got to pay attention to. You know, the first thing, as I said, you challenge some of these myths that circulate.
Okay.
And people accept them as gospel, which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
So first, you got to challenge those myths. Second, you need to understand what really a romantic relationship involves.
Okay.
So the next part of my talk, I usually give two perspectives on romantic relationships. The first one comes from a Harvard psychologist. His name is Dr. Robert Sternberg. He wrote a little book 30 years ago called Love the Way You Want To, Using Your Head in Your Romantic Relationships.
Okay.
No? Love the Way You Want To, Using Your Head in Your Romantic Relationships. It's a little paperback. I think it should be out of print. You should find it in the library. And there, at the end of the book, he gives what he calls the anatomy of a consummate love, or what he calls romantic relationships. He says, a consummate love should contain three elements: intimacy, commitment, and passion.
Okay.
Intimacy is the degree of transparency that exists between two people, the willingness to communicate at more than the superficial level, the readiness to open your soul and your heart to the other, and the readiness to accept the self-disclosure of the other. How much at home do you feel with this person?
Mm-hmm.
That is intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Commitment is the determination that this relationship is unlike any other, and therefore it is worth investing in for the long haul. So you're ready to compromise, negotiate, sacrifice mm-hmm. in order to make this one work, almost to the exclusion of every other relationship.
Mm.
That is commitment.
Okay.
Passion is the fire, the spark in the relationship. Is the excitement you feel when you know you're going to be with this person. Is the sense of loss you feel when you're going to be away from this person. The erotic element is part of it, but not the whole of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It is the capacity to dream dreams together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for example, today on college campuses, at least it would appear, that there is no real dating. they call it hooking up.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
I just read a book called Hooking Up.
Okay.
Which is the result of studies done by a sociologist on two campuses, a Catholic university campus as well as a state university campus. Mm-hmm. So people just get together. So in those situations, what you have is only passion. Mm. There is no intimacy. There is no commitment. You don't even know the person.
Right.
Right.
And there's expectations that people on college campuses are doing this. I mean, the pressure, the peer pressure,
That is the perception nowadays.
Okay.
And then you've got friendships, which are commitment and intimacy. Mm. Your friends really know you very well, mm-hmm. but you can call them at 4 in the morning. They will come there and bail you out.
Sure, sure.
But intimacy and commitment. But romance is intimacy, commitment, and passion.
Wow, cool. Yeah.
And that requires those three elements. A lot of relationships, even today, people may have intimacy, they may have passion, but the commitment isn't there.
Okay. Right. You need three, not one
all
or two.
All the three. All the three. In fact, this author will say it should be an equilateral triangle. Even through marriage, because the shape of the triangle changes, but you should strive to make it equilateral.
Equal parts of each of those. Wow. We need to take another break. This is fascinating. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes.
So much I don't know. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
You are listening to The Light Show on Relevant Radio. Thank you so much for staying with us. We will have more with Father Brito and our topic of relationships.
In just a couple minutes.
There we go. Stay with us.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World. Or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to The Light Show. We are talking about relationships. We're talking about romance and intimacy and passion and all of the things that God's programmed into us. And how cool is all of this stuff?
During the break, I just wish sometimes you didn't ever have to break, because we sit here and we gossip during the break. And that's when such great insights oftentimes occur. I was saying that when listening to Father Brito talk about those three qualities, you know, where intimacy and passion.
And commitment.
And commitment. I'm thinking, wow, I'm translating those into qualities of ministry. And Father Brito said something, and that's when I said, let's talk about that. He said he translates them into his relationship with the Lord. And I thought, wow, you know. So, Brito, I'm going to make you, I'm going to force you, twist your arm a little bit.
No, you don't have to twist my arm.
Okay.
There you go.
No, because I really believe that this is the paradigm for adult relationship with God.
Okay.
Because for the longest time in our lives, you know, we have been told, you know, we are God's children, God is our father, God is our mother, and we have related in this filial way. But I think you have to graduate from that relationship to a romantic relationship. Mm. We are the beloved, and he is the divine lover who romances us.
Yeah, that's always a good one. Yeah.
And one of my favorite poems of all time is Francis Thompson's Hound of Heaven.
Yeah.
What is that? It is the lover who's chasing after the beloved.
Exactly.
And he catches up with it.
Right.
And what does he say? You know, human love needs meriting. Whom will thou find to love thee, ignoble thee, but me, only me? And this God is in love with us. Go and read chapter 16 of prophet Ezekiel, how God fell in love with Israel. And in that story, I see every one of us,
right,
how this God is in love with us. And I believe that because he fell in love with us, he made us first. Because we were only, you know, we say we are glint in God's eyes, or we are in his, you know, eternal intelligence. We are ideas in his hair, abstract things, but we become real because he fell in love with the very idea of me.
Right.
And he gave me existence. Mm. And through all my life, he's trying to woo me. And we don't get it.
Hmm. Right.
And that's where I think God works little miracles in our lives. And I call them God incidences.
Exactly. And you know, and I think, Brito, in talking to a lot of young adults, they've got this concept of God, which is antithetical to that. God sits in judgment.
Oh,
and you and you have to climb the mountain. And if God's in a nice mood, you know, you will be allowed a conversation. It's just the opposite.
Well, I mean, even
we didn't create ourselves.
I know.
You know,
and look at even the teachings of Jesus. He always spoke about this boundless, foolish love of God.
Well, look at the prodigal son.
Exactly. Or the good shepherd who leaves.
Semitic men never ran after anybody. The father, seeing the son still a long way off, ran to him.
Exactly.
How many of our own parents would run to us? Not a lot. And that, you know, but that's the God image. He will not let us alone.
Right. I think we need to teach our, especially young adults and adults, that this divine romantic romances us all the time.
Exactly.
And our response is exactly what I said, intimacy, commitment, and passion.
Right.
And if you look at a lot of Catholics, I really think we go only on the passion, on the commitment.
Right.
And when you, let's say in a marriage, you just live by your commitment, it is heavy.
Right.
Because it's a series of no's, do's, and don'ts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Prescriptions and proscriptions. And very often for many people, even the Catholic faith has become a list of proscriptions and prescriptions. Not even prescriptions. Very often it is, don't do this.
Right.
Which is a sad caricature of what the faith is supposed to be.
And the other thing for me, just spinning off a little bit on this, is that relationships take time.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that the world, everybody wants everything instantly today. Everything. You know, I remember many years ago, a dear friend of mine who's since passed away, we live in a world of instant responses. If the room is too dark, flip a switch. We put a light on.
Right.
If it's too cold, flip the switch, turn the heat on. Too warm, flip the switch, put the air conditioning on. But then when all of a sudden you get to situations in our own lives, you can't change it instantly. And I think with relationships, I always tell people, take your time. Go slow. As a dear religious woman that I keep in contact with, who did young adult ministry with Kate and me many years ago in Long Island, Sister Margaret O'Brien, she said, dream big, think small, go slow.
Great advice. Yeah.
Dream big. I want the best for life. That's mm-hmm. dreaming big. Mm-hmm. Take your time and do it in chunks.
Yeah.
That's a relationship.
Right. That's true.
Father Bitter, just switching gears back to something you mentioned briefly earlier, the communication element. Can you tell us and our listeners just a little bit more about that? You know, what is communication like in a healthy relationship?
Very interesting, because that leads me into my next perspective on romantic relationship. Okay. This is taken from probably the preeminent scholar on relationships today. His name is John Gottman. He's a professor at the University of Washington in Seattle. He runs what is called the Love Lab. It's kind of
sounds funny. Okay.
I mean, everybody knows the Love
Shack.
I'd
like to go to that. What do you do in a Love Lab?
Love Lab. He brings couples in to his lab and he studies them. He asks them to talk and he measures all their physiological responses. And they say that he has made this into a science, so much so that he can predict with almost 92% accuracy whether a relationship will succeed or fail.
Wow. Wow.
The way they discuss their physiological responses, he's able to tell you that.
Okay.
Now, John Gottman wrote a great book, which is a great gift for weddings. It's called Seven Principles for Making Marriage Work.
Okay.
Wow.
It is distilled wisdom from all his research.
Okay.
But then he has got another book that came out later. It is called The Relationship Cure.
Okay.
In that, he describes how relationships happen. He gives a very simple theory of relationships. Very simple.
Okay.
This, you know, affects all relationships, not just romantic relationships. He says every relationship comes to be in this fashion. He says we are constantly sending out bids to other people for their attention, affirmation, and affection.
How do
they respond to our bid?
Okay.
They can respond in one of three ways. Positively, by giving what we ask. Negatively, by rejecting what we ask. Neutrally, by ignoring what we ask.
Okay.
But if they give us what we ask, we make a connection.
Okay.
And the more connections we make, the possibility of a bond, the stronger the bond, the possibility of a relationship. Give you a very silly example.
Okay.
Let's say it's a beautiful sunny day in summer, not like today, and the sun is shining and the waters of the Michigan, Lake Michigan is blue. And at about 10:30, you go to the water fountain to get a drink. And there you see this new employee you have never seen before. And you are a very friendly person.
Mm-hmm.
So you say to this person, "Oh, look at that. What a beautiful day here in Chicago." How does that person respond? Let's say that person responds and says, "You know, you are right. I moved here from California, where it is always beautiful and sunny. I thought Chicago was either too hot or too cold. I can live with this."
Mm-hmm.
Now, this person has given you a positive response.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Later in the day, you are on the elevator, and this person is rushing to catch the elevator. It's very highly likely that you will hold the door for this person. And you start a conversation.
Right.
And then later in the week, there is an office party and you see this person. You probably are going to have a conversation with them. This could be the beginning of a friendship. On the other hand, you say, "Oh, what a beautiful day." And this person responds, "Who the heck has the time?" And you say, "Oh, I don't even know this person."
Yeah.
Exactly. And you are standing on the elevator and this person rushes to catch the elevator. You're not going to keep the door
open.
You don't
want to spend time with them.
Exactly.
They're a downer.
Right.
Now, what John Gottman is saying is that relationships do not happen with big fireworks.
Okay.
But in the little attention people pay to you.
There you go.
How do they respond to every little overture you make?
Okay.
And then he will also say, healthy relationships are those that are constantly connecting. And what he found was that in healthy marriages, spouses ignore or reject very little of each other's bids.
Wow.
Whereas unhealthy couples ignore or reject a lot of each other's bids.
Wow. They ought to teach this somewhere.
You should learn this in second grade. But it's very simple.
Wow. Sure
it is. And that is why when a woman, let us say, she's dating a guy and he keeps on giving excuses not to see her, whatever,
sure,
you better ask yourself whether he really is serious about this relationship.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If somebody isn't willing to pay all that attention to you.
Yes.
And that's the key.
I find that a lot in people who are trying to get some resolve in a relationship. Is this heading anywhere? And one or the other is just always putting off the question.
Exactly.
You know, oh, I'm not ready to commit yet. Well, you want everything in the toy chest, but you know, you're just not being straight with me.
Right.
Talk to me. Why?
Exactly.
What's going on? Is it in you? Is it in me? Is it in us? What is it? Instead of simply saying, I'm not ready yet.
Right.
You know? It's like waiting for Godot. Godot never came.
Right. I know.
Sadly.
I know.
It's time to take one more break. We're going to do one final break. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Please stay with us. More with Father Brito Birchmans in just a couple minutes.
In your spirit, send us on the way to live your truth.
Send us out, O Lord, to live, that we might have life, everlasting life. You came to us, O Lord, so that all might have life, have your glorious life. Lord, send us to the world.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to The Light Show. Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and Father Brito Birchmans. We are delighted to be with you, Father Brito. Oh my goodness, you've just shared a whole lot of wonderful things with all of us, and we're so grateful to have you here.
Now, folks, within 24 or 48 hours of this show being on Relevant Radio, you're also going to find a copy of it on our website.
Yes.
Which is yamchicago.org.
Yes.
The reason I say that is, obviously, at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, not everybody has the privilege of tuning this in and listening to the wisdom of Father Brito. And we want to make sure that the young adult world, who probably is at work this time of the day, in all honesty, gets an opportunity to hear this, mm-hmm. as any of our radio shows. So if you go on our website and you search around a little bit, you're going to find radio shows.
Yes, right on the top bar of the homepage.
There you go.
See.
And then what you're able to do is you can click on it. You can listen to it immediately if you're on your computer or maybe even on any of your Android or Apple. They're not telephones anymore.
Gizmos.
They're little computers with a they're computers with a telephone in them. We
yeah.
flip. But then also you're able – we also have given you the ability to upload these mm-hmm. To any kind of an MP3 player. So if you're going to go out for a run or a long walk, you're going to go to the gym and work out, you will have the privileged hour to listen to Father Brito on this wonderful and serious and critically important topic of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And again, at the break, here we were again, Father Brito. We were talking about something really key and and I was mentioning that I'm dealing with a situation of a young couple, and one of the situations, one of the things going on here is a massive amount of guilt over something that occurred within the relationship. And they're just, it's like a haunting. It's like a paralysis. You can't move forward if you're living in guilt, and somehow the other partner, person in the relationship, is not there to forgive and to help somebody on the journey. So, Brito, talk to us a little bit about that, because your immediate response was something about forgiveness.
Yes.
When I was a young seminarian, there was a movie that came out. It was called Love Story.
Oh,
Ryan O'Neill and Ally McGraw. And I was about 20 years old. I remember watching that movie and crying through the whole movie. It was a very beautiful romantic movie. And the billboards for that movie, what did the billboard say?
Love
means never having to say you are sorry.
Sad.
Mm. Nothing is further from the truth.
Love means having
to
say
you are sorry. See, one of the most beautiful things in our relationship with the Lord is that, you know, much has been forgiven us, and because of that, we love much.
Mm. Exactly.
And the Lord has forgiven us, and He keeps forgiving us. I tell people the real test of love is when you can forgive somebody.
Oh.
Mm. Because
and let go of it.
Exactly. That is the meaning of forgiving. It's
exactly.
not holding it over the head of the other person.
Right.
And I really think forgiveness is difficult because of, first and foremost, because of pride.
Yeah.
Pride has to go. Egos get in the way.
Right.
In order to forgive, you have to be a humble person. How do you become humble? You know, we have to realize how much we have been forgiven.
You know, and I think we also have to have the ability to look someone in the eye.
Yes.
Not look from above
exactly.
down as if we have some dominance over them.
Exactly. If you realize how many times you have made mistakes and how many times you have hurt other people and you needed forgiveness from other people as well as from God, then you will have to be humble.
Brito, one of the things in my own life that I've come to, and there won't be many more of them if there will be any of them, I never like to go to class reunions because you're always talking about the past.
Yeah.
And I was a little kid. I was literally very physically little when I was in this building where this radio station is when I was in high school. And so 30, 40 years later, we got together, and all I was in the eyes of these guys was this little kid. And nobody asked me what I was doing with my life. I was held to who I was. Never asked, where do I see myself going? And I think in relationships, let go of the nonsense.
Right. But you know, also the other issue is too often people get so caught up with just the hurt and they forget the person and the relationship.
Absolutely. Mm.
See, you have to focus on the relationship and the person because you have invested so much into this relationship. Don't tell me, no matter what this other person has done, that one thing erases years and years of love and relationship
exactly.
and the children you have had. I mean, there is a beautiful story I tell at my wedding ceremonies. There was a guy named George. He had a sports car, which he loved. You know, it was like his baby. He waxed it, vacuumed it, polished it. And he never allowed anybody to touch it. Any little noise, he would take it to the mechanic. And when he got married, he let his wife drive it a couple of times. Once he took him to the office on the way back, she was involved in a car accident.
Uh-oh.
And she gets out of the car and looks at the front part of the car. It looks like an accordion. She said, oh, George is going to be upset with me. Then the cops came. They asked for all the documents. She opens the glove compartment, and all the documents are wrapped in a piece of notepaper. And on the notepaper is this message scribbled. It is you I love, darling, not the car, George.
Oh.
Now, that's what you call focusing
love.
On the person.
Right.
Not on the hurt.
Exactly.
You can replace a car,
right.
but you can't replace a relationship. Too many people get caught up with the hurt. You did this to me, and I'm not going to let it go.
Brito, it's interesting you say that. In my early 20s, I was home from college, and I had two auto accidents in one afternoon. And the car was pretty well battered. It looked like it just came out of a war zone. And we only had one car, and it was the only way my dad could get to the train to go to work, on. Well, I was terrified facing my father. And I got in the house, and he threw his arms around me, and he said, John, I'll bet you're tired. Oh, I said, Dad, I'm exhausted. He said, why don't you go upstairs? Why don't you go to bed? We'll talk about this in the morning. Mm-hmm. Well, morning came, and you're ready for the trial, you know. And I came down the stairs, and I looked out the window, and my aunt's car was now in front of the house. And I could hear my father walking from the kitchen through the dining room to meet me in the living room. I'm thinking, here we go. And he had my aunt's car keys. And he said, John, I need to go to the store. And why don't you drive? And he never brought up yesterday again. I was his son.
What a beautiful example.
Yeah.
You know, I was not the guy who crashed the car. You are, and he also knew, probably from his own experience, I probably never wanted to drive a car again. And the only way to get free is to jump back in the pool and keep swimming.
Right.
And so I didn't have to drive him to the store. He drove himself to the store every day. But he wanted me to drive him. And to this, you know, to the day I buried him, he never brought it up.
He was a wise man, your dad.
That's forgiveness.
Yep.
It happened. I'll always feel terrible about it. But it did not in any way put a dink in the relationship.
Right. That's the thing.
Right.
And unfortunately, in marriages, sometimes people forget that. That you have invested so much in this relationship and you got to let it go.
Mm-hmm. Relationships are not even living in the moment. It's living for the future.
Right.
You know, that's what I've always said. You know, where do you want to be in 5 years?
Yeah.
You know, how are we going to get there together?
Right. We are doing it together, not alone.
Exactly. And if I keep dwelling on something that happened in the past, you can't keep your eye on the prize.
Right. That's why I think it was Ingrid Bergman who said, happiness is having a bad memory for bad memories.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
You need to have a bad memory for bad memories. Right. And that is essential in relationships.
Yes.
You know, forget the bad stuff.
In the young adult world, I've created a thing recently called a monthly service of forgiveness around your table, particularly for young families. The difficulty today is we need to create a time to reconcile. Parents to each other, parents to kids, kids to parents, and we're not doing anything. And the stuff is just building up like floodwater in a basement.
Mm-hmm.
And I say once a month before dinner, there should be a service of reconciliation where dad publicly says to his wife, you know, I came home from work the other day, and you said, how come you're so late? And I flew off the handle, and it says, it's none of your business. I worked hard. I hurt you. Please forgive me. And it starts in the adult world, and then it moves to the child world and back. We can't let this stuff build up.
Right.
You know, we just can't.
Right. I know.
Because then the passion's gone.
Right.
So. Wow. Well, we've only got just a minute and a half or so left. So any final words for just, you know, living in good relationship? Father Brito, any last comment?
I even though, you know, we said about forgetting the bad stuff, I think the real secret of happy marriages is remembering the good stuff.
Okay. Yes. All right. Celebrate the good stuff.
Celebrate the good stuff.
Okay.
Actually, I quoted John Gottman. John Gottman says there must be a ratio of the positive to the negative in a healthy marriage of 5:1.
Wow. Oh,
for every negative thing that is exchanged, a negative word said or negative thing done, there should be 5 positive things.
Nice.
And that's what makes a relationship emotionally intelligent.
Nice.
There you go.
Father Cusick, any final words on healthy, happy relationships?
The only thing I learned from a young man one day is he forgot how to date his wife. He dated her when they weren't married, but they quit dating after they got married and all the troubles built in.
Right.
He said, so Father, I need to take her out on a date. I said, yes. You need to romance each other.
Right.
You need to you have to refine, if there's such a word, why you fell in love in the first place. And never, ever forget that. If you're so caught up in the complexity of this nutty world in which we live, then you cannot go to the well and drink from the water of life.
Right. I don't know if I have a minute
to
say a story.
Ahead.
You know, 10 years ago, I was called to the bedside of a woman who had died in a nursing home.
Okay.
I went there, was saying my prayers. I looked at the lady. She had lost a lot of weight and no hair on her head. I thought she had cancer and had chemo. And so I'm thinking to myself, oh, she doesn't look good. Then the husband comes up to me, takes my hand and says, Father, I'm the husband. Thank you for coming. She's the only one I ever loved. I met her a few days after I left the service in World War II, and we have been together since.
Wow.
And then she said, Father, look at her. She is as beautiful today as she was the first day I saw her.
There you
now
go.
That's marriage. finding the beauty and the goodness in your spouse, in spite of the wrinkles, in spite of the hurts.
And that is an emotionally intelligent relationship. Thank you for being
Thanks,
with
everybody.
Us.
Shine radiant with your glory.